The next is Mentor Development, Mr. Langdon and Mr. Ty.
Mayor and Council, thank you all for having us here tonight. So my name's Ty Legood. I'm the CFO of Melior Development. And this is Landon Barrow. He's the owner of Melior Development. And this is Bill Hollingsworth. He's the owner of Equal Development out of Southern Indiana. And so if you've had the chance to look through your info packet, you probably have an idea of what we're going to talk about here tonight. So Landon and I created Melior Development in order to get into the low-income housing development industry. And when we were looking for our first project, we wanted to keep it close to home. So we're out of Murray, Kentucky. And we wanted to keep it close to home. And so we came upon Katie's. And so we started doing market research through third parties and then also doing our own. We called the Public Housing Authority, Barclay Manor, Emma's Rose. And it seems like there's no available housing anywhere, or even, and then we even called real estate professionals in the area as well. And it just seemed like there was no housing available. And so we got the idea that, you know, we need to try to bring something here to serve the population. And so that's where the Lost Acadies comes in. And so this will be a 38 residential unit multifamily development located on East Knoll Drive. And so it's right across the street from some storage units and the pole yard at Penny Rod Electric. If y'all are familiar with that location, right on the trail. So very, very good access to, you know, Main Street's just on the other side over there. School's close by. Hospital's not far. So we think it'd be very good for the residents, for the tenants. And so it would be through the Low-Income Housing Tax Credit Program, which is a federal tax program that is administered by state agencies. So it's the same program that Emma's Rose was funded through. And so I've only heard positive things about Emma's Rose and heard that most people are pleased with it. And so it's similar in that aspect, except where Emma's Rose is catered to seniors, we would be looking at families. And so through those 38 units, we would have a combination of one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and three-bedroom units, depending on the needs of the tenants. And those rents would be income-based. And so it is workforce housing. It's not Section 8 free housing. So these are going to be tenants that are employed. Think teachers, entry-level public service workers, professions like that. And so that's kind of the market that we're going towards, and our market research has kind of told us that, you know, there is a need for it. Let's go ahead and work through our packet here. I just want to tell you more about the project. So if you go to the second page, this is our proposed site layout. So we're working with REB Architects out of the Lexington area to help us develop this. They've got a lot of experience in the low-income housing development industry. And so you can see there's going to be, or at least proposed to be, seven buildings where the 38 units are spread out there. And then you can kind of see in the far right corner here, there's a big open space. And I want to go to the next page so you get kind of a better feel of the plat that we're going to be working on. So there's kind of two different sections of the property that we're looking at on East Knoll. So on the far right side here, you know, looks like it's a, I guess you would call that an irregular pentagon. I think is what you would call that shape. And so if you kind of apply that to our site layout on the previous page, you can kind of compare where the buildings are going to be in comparison to Rhett Boulevard behind. And we do intend to place a fence at the back in order to separate that from the subdivision, as well as screening, you know, via trees, shrubbery, other landscaping. That way we have separation there. And we're also, you know, we know a big question is always stormwater, how it's going to flow, making sure that we're not causing any trouble with that subdivision that's back there. And so we're willing to work with engineers and get it to where it'll flow to, you know, we can kind of use that 100-year floodplain that's on the left side of the property that we own. So we're only building on the right side of the property, which is where this is outlined here on that site map. But we also have, I think it's between 7 and 8 acres on the left side of the property. It's in a 100-year floodplain. We cannot build on that, and as you might expect and might hope. And so we can kind of utilize that to our advantage in order to move that stormwater to make sure that it's not going to be an issue.
Well, I'd like to see us leave it in a better place than we found it.
Right.
Because, you know, that always is a problem for those residents over there.
Yeah.
So if we can push that water out, that would be, you know, like you said, work with the engineers on that to get that water pushed out.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've...
Is there a deal where you would have to make retention ponds to keep it off of that front section?
Yeah, that's what we were kind of speaking of.
So the retention pond will have to be on our property. And so that will have to go, if we flip back to the previous, all this area right here, probably an acre and a half, it'd be all over retention pond. With being that close to a 100-year floodplain, we're going to have to retain a tremendous amount of water and be able to hold it back before we can release it on the adjoining property. So, yeah, we can't control the amount of water that falls from the sky, but we can control the speed which it leaves.
Really?
So.
You can't control the
amount. No.
So you're saying that'd be retention pond in that area right there?
That's what, yes.
Yeah, because I know a couple of houses that's in that, on the rep, that's in the flood zone.
Yeah.
You know, they even have to buy flood insurance.
Right.
But, of course, in this plan, you would elevate what you're building as well. Your buildings would be elevated for the water retention.
Yeah, the engineers would design it. And forgive me, I'm Bill Hollingsworth. I've been doing this for 25 years. So affordable housing is my gig. That's all I do. So they started doing this, and they said, well, they needed somebody that knows what the heck they're doing. So that's how I got part of the team. Lucky enough to been invited and, you know, signed up with these folks just for this one particular off deal. But these folks will be the owners. But the engineering part of this is it would absolutely require stuff that we've not done yet, won't get done until probably 9 months from now at the earliest once we get funding. Kind of like y'all's sewer project.
Right.
We're kind of piecemealing this through trying to get pots of money to be able to afford it. So the engineering will be done by a local or semi-local engineer that would make sure that none of that goes on their property. And by all accounts, probably help them out.
Yeah.
We actually talked to Frank about potential engineering. He's done several of these projects in Madisonville.
Okay.
And so he's familiar with the requirements of everything and said that he would be willing to look at it.
Good.
Somebody who's used to the local stuff, yeah.
How far are these buildings from the houses that you see on the third page?
Here's right here. You see that?
Whatever's in there, this is preliminary site plan, so
we right, but how far? How far from those, from that subdivision?
Are you talking about back on Rhett Boulevard?
Yeah.
That
Yeah. Right here, where you've got houses.
Yeah, I think the aerial is probably the closest. The best way to judge that. I don't know if there's an exact number.
I mean, I would guess.
Yeah. Guess is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever said
80 yards.
I was going to say 200 feet. I mean, so yeah. Somewhere. Yeah. That is 100% speculation.
Yeah. And they can move, and it's going to depend on the engineers, honestly.
Have there been any, has there, and it's a little early probably, has there been any discussion with this subdivision about the preparation and the building of what you're speaking of?
No.
That's always a question I'm concerned with, because those people were there first, and maybe they'll say, woohoo, good, yeah. You know, but I don't know. And I'll do that at some time before I'm in agreement with such a thing, you know, to see how they feel.
Of course, I know where we had Emma Rose, whenever they built that, we had everybody from White Dove in this room, okay? And boy, they was at each other's throat, all right? But after it was built, and they did exactly what they said they would do, You didn't hear nothing else?
No.
We're required by the state of Kentucky to do exactly what we say we're going to do. So it's not just our word.
Right.
It's the state of Kentucky is going to make us do exactly. We don't get many decisions on how they're built or what they look like. There are very specific requirements for everything. So, but the way the buildings are laid out, the way they look, how much brick, how much vinyl, how much concrete, how much grass. I mean, there's so many different requirements that they have that we really don't get hardly any say.
How about the size of them? Square footage?
We don't get any say in that either.
Yeah, okay. They're minimum sizes. I think it's 650, 850, and 1,050 for ones, twos, and threes. Square feet. 650, 850, and 1,050. And that's generally what you would build. And REV Architects, the folks that we've engaged, they've done two of my projects here in Kentucky, both actually in Henderson right now. And they specialize in this affordable housing, workforce housing. So they kind of have a template that works and you've seen work. I think that's why they included those pictures, because they're darn good.
Right. Yeah, if you look at that next page, this page right here, so these are not renderings of our project
right.
per se, but these are what they are basing, these LIHTC projects are what they are basing our project on. So if you can kind of see the top here, you've got a little bit of brick. I think we're going to have more brick on our units than that.
Yeah.
And then if you go to the bottom there, you can kind of compare this to the left side of our site layout, and you can kind of see how that's kind of how our development's going to sit and how the apartments are going to sit there.
And the other half of that, the engineering stuff aside, but you were talking about the state requiring so much stuff architecturally and engineering, but it's also the fact when people move in, we actually have professional management. These folks are signing on the mortgage, so it's not a government-funded project by somebody that doesn't have a personal interest in it. That's a big deal that they're signing. I won't own, I'm just developing with them, but they are, and that's, to me, is kind of half the battle is someone that cares.
Well, what about security? Are you going to have someone that you all hire for security, or is not going to have any, what the city offers?
I can't imagine the security for 38 units. It generally speaking, at night, specifically speaking about this project, every affordable housing project requires a tenant background check. Honestly, the management company they're going to use is the one I use as well. It's not mine. They you cannot have a violent felony. You can't. I mean, there are things that you can move into a house behind us that we would not let you live in our house, our property, and that helps. So security's not really been an issue because we've pre-vetted and pre-screened the folks.
Well, and you will be in the city, so the city police would.
Yeah.
That's another question I have.
What?
That. I'm looking at Tom.
Sure.
Because you'll know the answer better.
I'll try.
For sure. We want this. You all want this to be annexed into the city.
That's correct.
It used to be, the way I understood it, that if you annexed something into the city or wherever, it had to join another property that was annexed. Like, you just couldn't do spot
right.
annexing.
That's true.
That's still the case.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this would be.
I think we're next to, aren't we next to the city property? Or stuff that is in the city?
I thought we were on this side.
No,
we're
not next to.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
I thought we were on the...
You're across the street from...
Across the street. That's
right.
What I was thinking.
Yeah,
so I thought we were in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, across the street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Across the street,
yeah.
If it's contiguous as determined by a surveyor.
Yeah.
Okay. So it has to be continuous in some way.
Yeah. Which
because you can't do spot.
Yeah.
Would the across the street count as contiguous?
That's what I was telling Ms. Bryant.
Yeah.
Only a surveyor can determine if it's contiguous.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know, who might own the underlying street. It varies from roadway to roadway.
Oh, well, I understand now.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that street actually is one of the things that I have concerns about, because that's one that floods pretty regularly, right?
Well, at the far end.
Yeah.
Right.
Not at that end.
Not at that end.
On the end coming out toward Eastgate. Right, Craig?
Mm-hmm.
That's
where just went there behind King Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it didn't affect.
And is that a city street? Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, they're behind King Donald's sale.
That's what I thought, yeah.
In general, where you are talking about is not.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's not, okay. It's not flooding, but it is a city street.
No, ma'am.
It's not a city street
no,
there
ma'am.
On the map. Okay. It's all in the county.
Yes, we stop at the walking trail.
Okay. Okay, you go all the way to the walking trail, that's where you stop.
Yes, ma'am.
So this is in preparation for an annexation request?
You are correct.
Yes. Okay. Jim?
Big one.
Yet another one.
Yeah.
Okay. And the biggest part about this is, as you talk about having the ability to attract the industry, I imagine the other biggest, for industry coming in is, where the heck are my folks going to live? Where are they living now? We don't have anybody that doesn't commute a half hour to our new facility, kind of conversations with new businesses. And that's,
well, we're struggling with our own residents having places to live.
Right. Right. And that's and I see this in every community. I mean, it's a big deal. And that's honestly why I've been doing this forever. It's just, I mean, job never gets done.
Is the flats, is it the same type of company?
No. So the flats is a market rent. So, you know, I own the flats. Uh-huh. And so we build a market rent for just anybody.
There's
no government assistance with that.
But you do a background check and all that, whatever you do.
We do.
Yeah.
Thank you. We do background checks. Credit checks, things like that, which I don't have any experience with this, so I'm going to refer to Bill on that. But yes, we do.
Yeah. But it's not the same type of housing.
It's not the same type of housing.
It's for anybody that can.
I can charge, and so that's another thing, you know, we're limited on the rent that can be charged, where I can charge as much as I want, well, as much as I can get. It's market. The market dictates my rent. In this particular instance, it's dictated by AMI, which is explain that side.
And it's also AMI is area median income. So basically, the middle income that's in this individual's residence of this area. And so our units right now are going to be about 60% of that. Like that's going to be the limit. And so I mean, and so we worked with our market analyst. And so you're looking at, you know, preliminary rents of $700 a month for one bedroom, $775 for two bedroom, $875 for three bedroom. So probably, you know, a decent bit lower than what you're going to see on the market side.
Right. And seniors can go in there as well.
Yes.
Whoever qualifies can go in there.
And that's a big deal. Emma Rose has a year wait list. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So honestly,
you
take all those.
We had another Emma Rose.
Right. Yeah, and it's just professionally managed. Person that you can look across the table and know his name's on the mortgage, that's a big deal.
Right.
And the units cost a little more than $200,000 a unit, so these are not, cheap units by any stretch.
Time, we don't have any kind of activities or anything being built there for kids or anything like that?
Yeah, so since it is family-oriented, we are going to have a playground as well as a multi-use sports court. So think, half-court basketball court, you can set up pickleball nets, you can, whatever you can do essentially on that basketball court.
And can anyone use it?
Just the tenants.
Okay.
Or their guests.
Or their other guests, tenants or their guests.
Ms. Bryant, we need to go over there and we'll use it.
Yes.
Before city
council. I can go over there.
If you're somebody's guest.
Somebody invites you.
Charge that I can use it.
We might know somebody that's over there.
But the community room you're talking about.
Yes, yes. And so if you look back on this site layout page, this building over here, that's going to house our property management office, and it's also going to have an event space. So if you're talking about tenants having birthday parties, retirement parties, anything like that, Christmas, Christmas parties, things like that. So there's going to be quite a bit just within the apartment complex itself for the residents to do. So, and like Landon and Bill were saying, these are going to be nice units. We can't just, the government's not going to fund us to build crap. We're going to build nice units. We have to keep them up. These are, we're looked at, we're audited every year. Like these are things that we're going to have to cross our T's and dot our I's with these. So this isn't something we're going to build and it's, just let it go.
Is this one of the kind of projects that you'll even have 2 years down the road renovate, update in that kind of way?
So after 15 years, we have the ability to apply for additional tax credits, right, which is the form of government funding we're talking about here. in order to renovate the property. Should there be, you know, as we all know, you know, buildings depreciate over time.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And what are the requirements for, like, continuing ownership?
Of the property or of the residents? So the residents will never own. There are actually private
property. Of the...
Of land.
Yes.
Yeah, so there is a requirement that he or someone of his background or specialty continues to own it. So generally what happens, the tax credits we get from the federal government, we end up selling to a syndicator. There are syndicators all across the country, and they pool these with other projects from other parts of the country, put them together in banks like Fifth Third or First Financial or Field Main and Henry, wherever they are. They invest in these as part of their Community Reinvestment Act required to do, and these fit that bill, which is wonderful. So the syndicators have a general partner, which he would be, these folks would be, requirements, so that if they need to get out, they get kicked out, whatever it is, they're replaced with people that are vetted by them as suitable, good stewards.
Equal.
Yeah. And that's the intent. So not only do you have the Kentucky Housing Corp in there, you folks, these folks, there's also the folks that put up all the darn money that bought the tax credits up front. So it's 10 years of tax credits that they give us over the first couple of years to build it. And we say, you can have all the tax credits. We don't need them. We can't do it because that's where we need the money to build the darn thing. So we build it up front, but they also have annual audits. They have all these other things that are required by us, which is good. Just another person to say, hey, what the heck are you doing? That's not a bad thing.
So to give you a little more insight, the state of Kentucky requires and kind of oversees that. So in our particular case, we had no experience with this program. So the state of Kentucky required us to partner with somebody with a lot of experience. Yeah. So that's how we got together with Bill. Yeah. And so they want to make sure that that the people, the developers that are doing this are legit, not crazy, not crooks. But, you know, generally have the knowledge and the understanding of how the program operates and can have the ability to do it.
Yeah, and like Henderson, I have a deal that we built years ago. It was a senior housing deal, I'm building a new one right now. The city, there have been cities like Mayor King has been nothing but awesome. Henderson's another one that is very supportive. They get that this is federal funds that can go anywhere in the darn state, and I want them here because why not? It seems silly not to collect that. So Henderson's another one, and I give you their phone number. I'm almost friends with two or three of them in there that would say, hey, he does what he says. And that's kind of why we partner, is because, you know, I've done the right thing almost my entire career. That's a big deal. And it doesn't happen all the time because developers, as you typically, I suspect, see, are, you know, not. They have a good game, but they don't do what they're supposed to. But I've been doing it for 25 years plus.
I know whenever we were looking, or whenever Emma Rose was looking to get that property annexed, they had, I think, one in Albany, Russellville, and I went up there and visited that before we
ever. Good for you.
And I was so impressed. I mean, they were a two-story apartment building, had their own little post office in there with their own little post office boxes, but you had to have a code to get in. Yep. And fortunately, we met the lady that was the manager coming out, so she took us and showed us around.
Yep.
And then after Emma Rose was built, had a tour of that with some of the people let us in their apartments. And I mean, it's better than they've ever had. You know what I'm saying? It's something like...
I'm a huge believer in it, but I'm the least credible guy to say that.
Yeah. It's true. But they've gotten better than they probably ever would have on their own somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they have a community together inside there too.
Yeah.
And also they have these boxes out there where they're planting tomato plants and flowers.
Yeah,
so I'm sure they do that as a
something certainly could happen here too.
Yeah.
And the intent is just to provide a safe, decent, affordable housing where the residents pay less than a third of their income towards rent and utilities. And the intent, and my best case scenario, is the folks that move out buy a house because they've saved the darn money,
right,
and they refer 50 other people to say, hey, if you don't want to, you know, throw away all this money on this, you know, junk house that hasn't been fixed in 20 years, my gosh, this is a place to live. That's for us a great scenario, and for the city, everyone. But it's hard to appreciate that's actually the case.
That's when I see it. With people living there, is that it's better than they would have ever probably had on their own individually,
right,
as widows or you know, whatever they were individual.
So y'all are just in y'all's early stages right now, correct?
Yeah, so with this program, like we mentioned, it's federal funding administered through state agencies, and so we're just in the application phase right now. So that application deadline is August 19th, and so we've got to get all our underwriting together, our architectural renderings completed, we got to check all the boxes. So a part of that, you know, I mentioned the underwriting phase. So essentially, we've got to be able to put all the funding together that we're going to have, our tax credit pricing, things like that, to make sure that it's a viable project. And it's got to at least appear to be a viable project for the state to consider it and approve it. And so with that, we get the initial funding up front. You know, we get the equity pricing, and if there's a shortfall in the funding, and then there's also, you know, soft funds from the state, like the Rural Housing Trust funds, which we're going to try to get. It's a new funding source this year. And then also, if there's a shortfall from there, you look into getting debt, just outside, you know, commercial debt. And so with that, whenever using your rents, you know, once we lease these up, your rents have to be able to cover your operating expenses and your debt service. And so that's an area with the rents being so low that we're having issues with. And so that's another piece of this, is that we're going to be requesting tax abatement of real estate taxes for 15 years is our request from you all, and we're going to ask the county for the same thing in order just to make it cash flow on an annual basis and show to the state of Kentucky that it's going to be able to support itself. And then also, through that tax abatement, that's also going to be considered an additional funding source, which will help our scoring with our application with the state. And because that's all we're asking for. We're not asking for anything else, like we'll bring the sewer. Because that's another thing. We worked with Craig and Frank to make sure that the current lift stations would be able to take the additional water flow. So we're all good on that point. We've got a letter from Frank stating, you know, certifying that. And so we're... property tax abatement would really be the only thing that we would be asking for from the city.
And so where we're at, you have to score. So we're competing against several other developers for projects all across the state of Kentucky. And what we really like about Katie's in general is, one, you haven't received any funding. You have a great need, and I think those are going to score high. We're donating the land back in a way, and so that's going to score us high. But the really kicker, one of the biggest points, is community funding as well. So the tax abatement actually helps us. I think it's 20 points. It's a big point system.
It's a huge deal. And the state tries to, it's a scoring subjective in a lot of it. And the biggest part they want is some community that says, I want them and I'm willing to invest in it. And with a tax abatement, it's not just I'm willing to invest in it, they're willing to invest in it, and we can underwrite it so that we can get a mortgage. That tax payment goes to pay for a mortgage, allows for that extra source of funding. He said if we don't have enough tax credit money, we have to go to a soft funds. If we don't have enough soft funds, we have to go to a finance. Every deal I've ever done has all those. there's never enough money. It's just the way it is. And as you might imagine, just because we have to build such high standard and high expense, and our rents have to be so low, there's always a disconnect in there. And I've probably every deal I've done 1,000 some units, except for two, have had tax abatements. And it just allows the city to say, hey, we want this, we're willing to support it. It doesn't incrementally cost us more, but at least for the first 15 years will help and allows us to get a mortgage out of that underwriting. That expense that's not there allows for more. And, you know, our debt coverage ratio has to be 1.2. So the cash flow on this thing is rounding error compared to the project. So it's not that they get to get rich off this. They are not. It is that allows for the underwriting to go through.
And what we're kind of projecting is about a $750,000 shortfall where we'll have to take on additional outside commercial loans. And so where we had the gap in, because the rents are so low, the tax abatement, you know, even though it sounds small, it actually allows us to have the ability to service that debt over the 30-year period.
Yeah, finance. Basically finance that money. Yeah, that's, it just says, because the bank underwrites the standard of what income you come out with. And we'd have a lower income that we wouldn't be able to have it loan at all.
So have you all purchased this land already, or you have an option?
We have a one-year contract on there, so we told him it would probably take a while.
So would it necessarily have to be 15 years? Could not 10 years be long enough, or does it's, in order to meet?
It's a bank. It's an underwriting bank thing. So you can give us 3 years, and that would be just nice, but we can't finance it. 15 years allows us, because the 15 years is the time that is required to be affordable.
Right.
And so all of our loans are coterminous with that as well. And that's, so if it's not, we can't get the loan from it. So we get the points, but we wouldn't get the loan. So that still has a big gap.
So if we only give you 10 and not 15, you ain't coming.
Yeah, that's not necessarily true. I just don't know how the hell it was we're going to find money.
it all flows into a big spreadsheet that we've got. It's not that simple. I wish it was.
Yeah, I just don't know what money, where would we get it? You know, I'm out of my tricks of things I've done in the past, and this is the most reliable one that banks allow for.
The rents in Katy's, I don't know if you all realize how low they actually are. They are incredibly low.
The rent in Katy's?
Oh my gosh, they are so low.
Well, I think they're pretty high myself, and I hear people talk about it.
Well, for instance, our apartments, the flats in Hopkinsville,
yes.
we're almost at $1,200 for a one-bedroom apartment.
But that includes all your utilities.
Yeah, that's about $200, so $1,000 a month. So
okay.
In Hopkinsville, for the same apartment that we're going to build here, actually these are going to be nicer than what we built, TV, for instance. They are, what would you say, six?
Our rents are going to be about $700. I mean,
so about $300 less.
What you're seeing in Hopkinsville?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So speaking of rent, do you have a guideline or projected number of when you will raise it again for these folks?
Every year, they HUD releases different times of the year, just whenever they feel like it. So between January and June, they release, it's a five-year lag of the average annual median income. And it goes up and down as annual median incomes do, and we're at 60% or less. So every year it goes up a little bit, and you know, my properties of $15, $20, $5, it all depends on what the lagging 5 years does.
So it could be an increase every year.
We don't get any say in that, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it could be.
Yeah, but it's never $100. I mean, there's no $50 rate. I mean, it's based on a 5 year average that moves along and goes up. But I gotta tell you, our expenses are higher than that. That's,
I understand.
That's our issue, yeah.
You know, because if somebody moves in there expecting to pay $700 for 5 years, that's not going to happen.
No, and I wish I could hold my expenses for 5 years, too, but it's not real. I mean, you have a year contract. That is the other thing that other cities have commented on that never occurs to me, but we have to do annual leases. We can't do month-to-month. We can't do short-term. We can't do some of the stuff, Airbnb and none of that stuff. These are fixed folks, families, there's 38 families that would be able to live here that are either already here and overcrowded or already here and commuting every, whatever that is, some combination of all those that would be here for a year at least at a time, which is more stable.
So when that year's up, they sign another year lease.
Yes.
Yeah. 6 months. Or
and they also have to verify that their income is still at that level, because if they get a huge promotion, we can't keep you here anymore. And you probably don't, you can afford something else anyway. A lot of folks try to, but you can't.
As long as you're in that lease period, though, and get a promotion
or get
an increase. Yeah. Like, let's say that you sign your lease today and get a $20,000 raise tomorrow, you're good for that year.
Yeah, for sure.
So how long do you allow them to move out? Is it immediately? They got a promotion?
So 60 to 90 days before every renewal, we do it's called a TIC, a tenant information, or tenant income certification. And it has to be, and these folks, we were lamenting about this earlier, The managers that run these things are beyond my capacity to do. A tenant files, inch thick, and it's a verification of your bank account, your verification of your income, a verification of all that stuff from the third party, not from you saying, yeah, that's mine. They have to have it. So they start that process 90 days beforehand, and usually 60 days beforehand. I think there's a 120% rule, so you can be a little bit above, but it's not much. But it's so 60 days out generally, and people will have an idea when they're getting that kind of income level raise that they, maybe I don't have an issue. And a lot of times they'll come to the manager earlier.
Does the manager live on the in the area?
It all depends, but yes, more often than not. With 38 units, it would probably be a 30-hour a week job or so. We'd have a local maintenance person as well. I guess my Henderson property, they don't live on. She doesn't live on site. I have other properties where in Marion, Indiana, I have actually of all things two preachers that both live on site, the manager and maintenance. So it just it's how you find them and who they are and what they have available.
I don't think Emma Rose is the, she doesn't live on site.
Yeah, but they usually meet a local, and they're professionally managed, and they're very well paid. They have fair housing training every year. They have all the trainings that you need to have a genuine professional management out there, not, you know, somebody that just says, I can do that.
Yeah.
So that's the other part of this program, is it requires us to be pretty diligent about who we are.
And are there maximum occupancy per unit?
It's all city code, yes. Whatever the city code is, or county code, or whatever the housing code is, so you can't overcrowd them.
Okay. Now that's $700 a month. That includes their utilities?
I don't know. It can or it can't. It depends on how this one's underwritten. We can go either way, frankly. I don't think it is. I think maybe electricity is on top of that.
Yeah, I think electric's additional. Okay. But I think water and sewer are covered in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have y'all went to the county yet to their physical court meetings?
We have not.
And frankly, we were hoping you folks would say yay and sign a letter, some sort of resolution saying y'all should get on board too.
Well, do we have to find out if we can annex them actually first?
Okay, so I want to make sure I understand the question.
Okay.
Annexation would be step number one, right? If you're
right.
going to provide, it seems that they're requesting some type of economic development incentives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or an application.
Right. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I assume annexation would be first. Yeah.
Before we ever get it started, mm-hmm. would we not need to know for sure that they can be annexed? I don't mean that negative. I just mean.
No, yeah. It's a matter of law. Yeah, can we do it?
Yeah.
And my understanding is it was. So we need, that's a city attorney kind of question we'll have to
that's
follow
why I keep looking at you.
Our assumption was because it's directly across the street.
Yeah.
It would be contiguous, but that was an assumption.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've never.
How would we go about checking on that? I'm just curious.
So a surveyor can determine if it's contiguous to the existing city.
So maybe a phone call to the local surveyor.
Okay.
I don't know what the statute reads as far as local, or contiguous, excuse me.
So it's okay. There's a two word.
So I guess if we're assuming that the county owns the road, so would that be a break in property, which you have to take that portion of the road over from the county as well?
It's a case-by-case determination. Yeah. And the exact wording you're looking for is the territory adjacent or contiguous? That has been litigated here in Kentucky. And our Kentucky court system has analyzed what constitutes adjacent or contiguous, and it varies by property.
And are they synonymous names? Are they the same threshold for those two things? Or are they separate and both qualify?
Adjacent or contiguous.
Okay, so there's two different definitions of those two.
So we have adjacent to one or contiguous.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we have to be one of them. And that's the surveyor's.
That's the surveyor's question.
Okay.
So the first step, though, is that they make a request to be annexed, for this property to be annexed. I mean, if they wish.
Yeah. But it would make no sense to request annexation if it's not adjacent or contiguous.
Right. And I got to tell you, I feel like pretty comfortable. I've actually had the exact same scenario in other cities. Doesn't mean it's what's going to happen here, but I'm betting we're fine. Not sure.
Unless somebody randomly owns the road, which
usually a city-owned, municipal-owned, or county-owned is not. In my anecdotal experience, I have no idea if that applies.
So we're looking for adjacent or contiguous.
Yeah.
So I think within the event of that, what we're looking for right now is a letter or something from the city, if possible, that in the event of annexation,
there you go.
That the city would be in favor of providing, abatement for a period of 15 years, if in the event of. Because there's a lot of ifs right now, because if we don't get the funding for this, we're not buying the property, which the city wouldn't annex. So that's why I say we have to work in a world of ifs right now, because there's no definites.
But your first thing is trying to get this application in.
Yeah, we do.
And see if our, if we would allow that as a city. Yeah. And then you can go ahead with your next steps.
Which, in the meantime, we will find out whether it's adjacent or concurrent.
Yes, I'm betting within a week, if I had to guess, if not before the 4th. But so our process is we try to line up all these puppets that are wind dancing, windstorm dancing. We're trying to make sure they all dance, you know, the same way before April, before August. Mm-hmm. Apply, and then we kind of don't do much between August and January when they announce the awards. And like you said, the application is not without 50, 100 grand of costs that these folks are spending, but also the time, which is a lot. And of all of that, there are about 3 to 4 applications to one that get it. So it's super competitive. And that's the thing where this allows for us not only to finance, because it's 15-year abatement, but it also gives us the points that puts us in a position to actually get the funding. So we could go through all this and still not get it, for sure, but that was one of the things they brought me in for, so I don't screw that up.
And I understand, I mean, whenever y'all first come and talk to me, I'm going to be right out honest with all of you all. I'm very thrilled, I'm very happy, you know, for this. But I will never tell my council how to vote, okay? I will never do that. But myself, I did some studying over it. I'm not for the 15 years. Now, I'm not going to tell them how to vote.
Yeah.
That's their mind of their own. Now, 10 years, I'll go all day long with that. Yeah. That's why I asked you that question a while ago.
What's the difference? I mean, other than the obvious 5 years.
Well, I got my reasons on that, you know. And I wanted to go. Don't get me wrong with that. I mean, I've been thrilled to death about it ever since y'all come forward and talk to us and everything. But I'm just not for the 15 years.
Okay.
I mean, what I see is, you know, you're going to want city services for 15 years, but you're not going to pay anything
for it.
Yeah, and that's a valid question, but the part that we're providing are the 38 families that wouldn't have lived here in a safe, decent, affordable
home. I understand that.
And I know you've been nothing but wonderful about that. That allows for maybe the jobs that do come into that spec center over there to have workers here. I mean,
and the additional revenue that the county and the city is also going to get from the hospital, you know, from the school. They're going to get almost $30,000 a year in property taxes for the school. They're going to get an additional,
which we're not abating.
Which we're not abating. Yeah. So the only thing we're asking to be abated was going to be the
city real estate tax, and then also the general fiscal court.
Yeah.
And so we're asking for school, library, hospital, none of that.
Well, so all of those funds would continue.
That I have, because I don't know how we calculate that or what the value of this.
So based on our projected development cost and assumed assessed property values, we expect the city's abatement to be between $11,000 and $12,000 per year.
Yeah, so it's not a huge number, but I understand every penny, particularly given that, is important. But the alternative is that we are paying some of the property taxes, and we do provide that housing for folks that, it's always the chicken and egg. Can I build a factory? Oh, heck yeah. But I don't have houses. Well, I don't have houses. I can't build a factory. So it's the chicken or the egg. Well, how the heck do you start somewhere? And this has always been my pitch, is that's honestly us. Is you get the folks that allow the rent here, and they're affordable. That's a big deal.
So, I mean, the city services, you know, we would be required to pay the ambulance tax, the library, all the other services. The water, the sewer taps that you guys are going to need the fees from to help with the infrastructure. You know, those taps all go into funding your sewer. So all of those fees, the extension of that sewer line that the city will benefit from, because we'll turn that back over to the city and have potential for future development of 900 feet of sewer line that the city previously didn't have, the ability to have further development in that area.
But you can't develop that bond part, right?
No, but you can develop it by the road.
Yeah.
On the far other
side, yeah. Yeah, and it's a valid, those are valid concerns that every city struggles with them. You know, how do you deal with it? And it's just kind of one of those things where you kind of, you need to figure out if this is where you're going to, the chicken or the egg, or you're doing the chicken or the egg to get more industry.
Is your abatement request off of the property that this development is on and not the other property?
Not the other property, right.
Okay.
Can you sell that?
We'll probably sell it. Most of it's just for row crop. The corner down there, there is some decent stuff that somebody might could build a house or something on. Or a couple houses, but for the most part, it's just gonna be farm ground.
Yeah.
Because of the floodplain. You can get a little bit of stuff, but not much.
So it's all part of the annexation. You want to annex?
Yeah. Because any of that that would be served by sewer, I would assume would all have to be annexed. At least most places you have to annex in order to receive city sewer services.
And we run the sewer across the front of the farmland.
Correct.
To the west of us as well.
Yeah.
And all this is also contingent on us getting darn tax credits. So we won't know until February whether we do or not. And anything you do would be predicated on us being able to build, and so that all the commitments go out the window if we don't get it.
If we don't get it, we really can't move forward until we know. And once we know, then we start moving forward, purchasing the land, and then the annexation, and then all of these things that we have to do to put everything. So we're kind of getting the cart before the horse a little bit, but we have to know what to apply for funding.
And we got to be able to show the state that we're going to get that abatement, that you are committed to do that, should the project get awarded. So, because we want to invest in this area, you know, I married a woman from Katy's, and my kids were here playing today at Grandma's house. And so Susie's, you know, my wife is her great niece. So, I mean, I care a lot about Katy's. We want to invest in this area, and there's two big pieces with it. We got to be able to show the state that, first of all, it scores well, which it does, especially if we're able to get the abatement. And, you know, we're in a rural area, haven't got funding in a long time through this program. And we've also got to show that it's financially viable. And the abatement kind of checks both of those boxes and gives us a much stronger application. And so, because if they don't like our application, then all this goes out the window.
So, Landon, what y'all need to do then is first find out if it's Jason or contingent. And then, I can't even pronounce it. Yeah, find out that first. And then, I guess we can come back and have it, because y'all are going to have this in August.
But truthfully, I'll be honest with you. If it's not something you're interested in, we're probably not going to score high enough to win. And at that point, I'm probably going to quit spending money on it. Just to be honest with you. Because this is not government funding where you guys are trying to find somebody to fund it. This is me funding it, and it's expensive to fund. So I'm probably going to cut spending money on it if it's not something that the city is interested in, because it's not going to score high enough to really win. Just to be honest with you.
Right.
And that's where it goes to three to four applications for everyone that gets an A. And it's not the barrier to entry for other developers, which is where he is the money, the experience, and all that stuff. And you know, he's got the money, it's just in an experience. And I know darn well I stop whenever a city says, hey, not for you. Totally valid, it's your city. I'm not coming, and I'm okay with that. But a city that works with you, it's nice to have dance steps on both sides that he's spending money to. It makes you feel more comfortable. That he's not just kind of fly by night.
It's we'll have $50,000 to $70,000 in it before it goes to application, and that's a lot of money to me. So if it's not something, we're probably just going to cut, because if we don't have the support and the commitment from the city here on this particular project, it just won't work.
I don't think questioning 15 or 10 years shows a lack of support.
Okay.
And I don't think it shows a lack of interest. So I've been throwing it back and forth, but still, when you say that, it kind of offends me.
That was not my offense. Like, if you're not interested in tax abatement in the project, is what I'm saying. Not, because without the tax abatement, it will not work.
Yes, no, he's not really talking about the 15 versus 10. He's talking about whether you guys are totally against tax abatement.
No, I don't think we, well, I don't know.
Okay. None of us is totally against the abatement. No, none of us is that.
Okay. So if we go back and we run the model, I don't know that this will work, just so we're clear, but if we go back and run the model at 10.
I don't think it does, but I may be wrong.
But he's going to have more.
And honestly, it's just it's not our decision. It's a bank that says, hey, I'll underwrite this for a 15-year loan, and you only get income. And so what it is, the way we have to do it is 2% revenue increase every year for 15 years on the underwriting model, and 3% for expenses. So as we go forward, which is honestly probably darn close to right, so in year 15, we have to have a minimum threshold of 110 debt coverage ratio for the mortgage. And if we have a 10-year, and in year 11 it pops up, we probably don't have 110 debt coverage in year 11, but it has to be in year 15. Otherwise, KHC says, you know, you can't find it. So I'm not saying that it can't, and maybe it does, but the way I ran it, it didn't. But
And we run numbers, with consultants. Yeah. We all try to kind of come together and kind of agree on a certain calculation.
Yeah.
And I mean, like I said, 10 years gives us a better chance than zero. So I mean, you know, I don't want to just say, you know, 15 or nothing. I mean, 15 gives us the strongest application, and that's kind of what we're trying to communicate. But I mean, it's like, you know, if 10's all we're able to get, then we'll see if we can try to make it work.
Yeah, and it just honestly depends on whether the bank can underwrite it. That's just the way, I mean, it's not us.
Before we make any decision, I don't know how the council feels or anything. Can y'all run the numbers on the 10-year then?
Yeah, oh, for sure, yeah. And as far as process goes, from here to August 17th, what's the number? We talked about this when I was with these folks. The number of readings, the number of public meetings you have for this, is that something we can still get done before August 17th?
We could have a special call meeting.
Okay, and that's why I was right, you mentioned that.
I think what we're having to have is just a letter of commitment, right?
We didn't have to be... Yeah, the resolution of some sort, the whole shebang doesn't have to, so we have some time. But running those numbers, and honestly, I have to run past the banker, too.
Yeah. Yes, I'm
to see if that's a thing. Billy at Hope of Kentucky. Yeah.
Was that something we should decide on the night? If we want to make a motion for 10 years or what?
Well, Dragon County Development Incentive Ordinance requires a written request, so... I'm not sure. It seems like you're requesting an abatement of real property taxes.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
So I'm not sure under what exception, you know, you were thinking that applies, but that would certainly need to be in your written request.
Sure. Yeah, and I guess our intent was this, to figure out A, the steps, and B, to make sure we get a letter before August 16th, 17th.
The city has an economic development incentive ordinance and has for years.
Oh, perfect.
We can add so
that you can reference as a part of the document to write a letter.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. And it sets forth literally from start to finish the procedure to request economic development incentives. Property tax abatement is not one, but there is a catch-all in the economic development incentives ordinance for other incentives as approved by the council.
Okay.
But if you were going to request something of that nature that's outside of the already established incentives, you would be well served to indicate what exception to the constitutional requirement that Kentucky has for property to be taxed that your project falls under. CADIS does have an ordinance and has for a couple years or so for the exception for manufacturing exemptions.
Right.
So that's an approved exemption from property taxation, and CADIS has an ordinance on the books to provide for developments that have manufacturing qualifications. Yeah. But all those exceptions are set by, of course, the state and not local governments.
Okay. So one question for that is, in other areas I've seen where you actually pay the property tax, and the city writes you a check afterwards as an incentive in the equal amount of that portion. So it's not considered an abatement, but more of an incentive after the fact.
Because I'll be quite honest, nothing that you've described so far suggests an applicable exemption. That's why I'm saying you would definitely want to, I'm not familiar with all the details of your project,
right.
But you definitely want to identify what exemption you think applies to your project. So in that example, it seems like there was not a property tax abatement. There was instead a...
There was an incentive.
There instead was a direct expenditure, which direct expenditures are approved economic development incentives.
So you're saying we should ask for an incentive for a direct expenditure of the equal amount of the property tax for every year for the next 15 years?
As one tact. The other tact is to figure out what exempt. And for the way I've always done it is that it is affordable housing. It's for it's 60% of area median income. So it's for the lower income folks is what it's always been the special class for. There's a property tax code that requires valuation of this to be separate from normal taxes because we can't afford to pay the full property tax. And if you say the cost $200,000 to build the unit, but the net operating income would say that our value of that property is worth 50 grand or 25 grand for the unit. So the taxes, real estate taxes, have to be capped at the income approach. So there is some statute for that, but from the tax abatement side, I don't know if they match. I'll let us figure that out.
Just be, are those Kentucky projects? Because
yeah.
None of that sounds like Kentucky law.
Right. No, and some of it's not, no.
Okay.
So
that's the distinction.
Right.
Property taxation is exclusively the purview of state government.
Right.
So of state law. So
yeah.
If you're referencing projects from a different state.
A couple of them are. But there are, I mean, the state valuation is a Kentucky law. For
Kentucky
property
laws,
taxes.
Yeah, it requires our all the properties here to be assessed at fair market value.
Yeah, but the fair market value of affordable, which is in the Kentucky law, is capped at the income approach, not the construction cost. Because our construction cost is wildly higher than the actual income associated with it.
I mean, I'm not
like the assessors, I've met with several. To their chagrin, I get lower taxes because it's in the law.
That's within the purview of people.
Right. But it is part of the law. So we need to figure that
either
out.
Either route we go, we ended the same result for us, whether it's an abatement or whether it's an incentive or a commitment from the city.
And is there a different economic development department, or is that kind of y'all as well?
We got what you call, Susan, incentive package, correct?
Yes, that's what Alan was talking
about. Yes.
That's the local ordinance.
And is that other people voting on that, or is it the same folks that would say...
Pay the city council.
Okay, so same thing. Okay, I didn't know if there was like a whole other
group. It sets forth the procedure. It sets forth because it has for many years been the goal of the Cato City Council that there be a readily available...
Right.
Economic development incentive overview of what is already pre-approved for businesses in Cadiz, existing businesses and new businesses.
So instead of calling this a tax abatement, what you're saying is that you already have it established that we would call it an incentive based over the course of the next 15 years.
Well, I mean, I cannot certainly tell you what to request, but I can tell you nothing about this tax abatement seems consistent with Kentucky law.
But the incentives do.
Yeah, a direct expenditure incentive is a listed incentive, is what you're saying.
So Kentucky absolutely does permit, and Cadiz has approved, direct expenditure economic development incentives.
Direct.
Yeah, so that's just a different way. But so we'll need to figure out which avenue that logistically, mechanically works.
You should definitely
review
the law.
All of it has to be y'all a favorite to begin with. Okay.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
So you kept saying embankment, and it's really incentives.
Yes, sir.
And see, that had me confused. I'll be the first to tell you.
Yeah, and it honestly depends on where and who you talk to, is what city is, how it works. I mean, mechanically is.
I think it winds up being the same thing.
It's the same number. It doesn't make a difference to us.
Right.
So they need that letter, and they need a rezoning request for the property.
Correct.
And that what you need for that is outlined in our planning and zoning information.
Yeah, okay.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yes. Instead of 15 years or 10 years, can you go 12, 13? Can you put numbers to that?
To me, it's like it comes down to the banker that says yay or nay.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And the banker has a 15-year contract with us, which makes sense. That's why
you can do a 12 or a 13.
No.
I mean, I the way it was told to me, it was 15 years because it's the same, it's coterminous with our loan. It's a 15-year mortgage, and we pay for 15 years in the loan. And if it's not, for all of that, we still have to underwrite to that 110 debt coverage ratio at the end. It has to be 120 beginning and 110 throughout. And if we don't hit that, our size of our loan goes way down. So the first 10 years, we'll be able to pay it readily and have a 125. And then year 11, it would be like 109 debt coverage, and they wouldn't. They would size the loan down, so we don't get
it. So, Landon, are y'all going to check on that?
We are, we'll talk
about it. If we have to come back for a special call meeting, we will.
We'll figure that out, And that was part of the point of this meeting, is to us get in here and figure out mechanics, how it works for y'all, and then just to feel if anybody says, get the hell out.
We need to talk about working with Mr. Allen directly to figure out the language of the incentive policy, or is that out of order?
So I advise the council. I can't give you.
Yeah, you want to be on our side.
Could you give me the documentation or both?
Absolutely. Yeah. The economic development incentives ordinance.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Absolutely. I've got it right here.
Okay,
perfect. Yeah.
For sure. All right. So y'all gonna get this from Mr. Wilson, and then y'all will study over there and see about the 10 years.
Yeah.
And then get back with us ASAP, and then we can come back and have a special call meeting.
Yeah. And we'll follow up with you, Mr. Mayor, in the next week with both adjacent. Contiguous, and then the other half.
Right.
Just normal stuff that, this is...
But we want you all to realize something real quick. We're not pushing this away. We want this, okay? We want this. It's not that at all.
And you've been good about that. Yes.
All right.
Like I said, there are some mayors that have no interest and some mayors that are... Let me knock over a few people to help you out. And you've been wonderful.
Well, I appreciate that. All right, and thank you all for coming. We do appreciate this, okay? All right.